Okay, we're up to Pasuk Lamed. In Chochmah, ve'in Tevunah, ve'in Eitzel, l'neged Hashem. Many Pesukim that we're coming to are some very famous Pesukim. This is one of them. In Chochmah, ve'in Tevunah, ve'in Eitzel, l'neged Hashem. Let's see the Mitzudos, Pasuk Lamed. In Chochmah, lo yoyel shum Chochmah, ve'eitzel, levatel, gezeres ha'makam. Pshut Shom Ikra. It's very common that you have a Pasuk in Mishlei, and you're so used to what Chazal say, you forget what the Pasuk Pshat is. You know, someone Balkari once told me that he learns the hardest pasuk is Shmartim es Hamatzos. This guy, you know, he's a Dafyomi type person. This person, so he learns. So Shmartim es Hamatzos. So he's so used to the Chazal Shmartim es Hamitzvos. So he has to concentrate. He's been learning for many years. So it's all just lip service. It comes out. So when it comes to the Shmartim es Hamatzos, he's so used to Shmartim es Hamitzvos. So he has to concentrate very hard on Shmartim es Hamatzos. So here's another example. This is very common in Mishnah. We have Pesukim, and we're more familiar with the Gemara than we are with the Pasha Pshat. Well, the Pasha Pshat is subject to different interpretations, but this Pshat, I don't think, is the more common Pshat, the Mitzudos. Ein Chochma v'ein Tfun v'ein Das Eitzel Neged Hashem, which means, according to the Mitzudos, Lo Yoyel Shum Chochma v'Eitzel Levatel Gezeres Samokon.
What about Tshuva?
What? Okay, tshuva, fine. Tshuva is yes, but that's not called chachma. Chachma and tevuna, vein eitzah, a person thinks he can outsmart. A person cannot outsmart a Kodesh Baruch Hu's gezeira, which means that it's meant to be the person should suffer, should be punished for a sin, for something that he did. There's no way to go back, to avoid it. It has to make its rounds. The neged Hashem means Hashem's gezeira. And why do I say that's not the Pashup Shah? Well, that's not what we are familiar with. We're more familiar with what it says in the Medrash. That's especially Rashi. Rashi says in Chochmah, Ein kol chocham v'navon choshev l'negin Hashem. Okay, a chocham and a navon is not choshev. L'negin Hashem, kol makam she'eshchil Hashem. Any place where there's chil Hashem, Ein cholkim kavul l'rav. Now, Rashi is quoting the next, this is really the Chazal, what we are probably more familiar with, that kol makam she'eshchil Hashem, then in cholkim kavul l'rav, you don't give honor to the Rebbe. Now, what does he really mean to say? Let's read you the Gemara. The Gemara Masech, the Brachos, which really illustrates this idea of Omar Rabbi Huda Amarav Hamoitse Kilayim Bevigda. A person finds Kilayim on his clothing, he has to take off his clothing in public. Can you imagine you in the Beis HaKnesses and someone comes over to you and says, I'm from the Shanis Laboratory, we're making a spot inspection, and I I can tell that you're wearing shatnez. So the halach is take off all your clothing right here in front of everyone. That's what it says. That's exactly what it says. Oh, but Gadol kavod habriyah yishadoch alois haseh shebetorah. So that's only b'shevi al. I think the battery is. The battery is not getting there. So that's not so. You don't. God will cover our brius only b'shev al tase. It's only when you don't have to do something. For example, if there's an aveda lying in the street, and the person is a zoki, he's 90 years old, and he sees someone's wallet in the street. So the halach is, the Gemara says, he's not mechuyev. Thank you very much. He's not mechuyev to pick up the wallet. Why? Zokein ve'eino lefi kvoida. He's 90 years old. It's not lefi kvoida to bend down. But right now, he's not doing anything. There's a mitzvah in front of him. And the mitzvah in front of him, he has an obligation, kum v'yase. Thank you very much. He has an obligation, kum v'yase. Pick yourself up and do something. So here we have a principle that God will cover habriyos, shadoich eloitzase shebetorah. The loisas is well. Here's not the loisas. That's not a good example. It's loisas. I don't have a good example then. But there, he doesn't have to. He doesn't have to get up and do so. He can just ignore the mitzvah. But here he is currently violating the mitzvah. Every single moment that he is wearing shatnez. Now we're dealing with shatnez de oraisa. If it was shatnez de rabbanon, then in a chanam he's not mechuyev to take off his clothing in public and go into the bathroom and go into quickly to a place where he can take off the clothing. But if he's in public and he's wearing shatnez de oraisa and he's deriving benefit, then he has no, since he's actively involved in doing an avera, he has no excuse of kavod habrios. He has an obligation in cholkum kavod, in cholkum kavod l'rav. He has an obligation to take off the clothing immediately. Yeah.
How can you have a situation where you're doche a losa say without being over every minute that
you're? You're right. I don't know. You asked a good question. For some reason, this slips my mind at this moment. I don't know. Let me see. Maybe I have it over here. But at least over here, according to this, let's give me one second. Maybe we'll see the other sefer. But here it says, "Amavid Marav Hamoitzi Klein Bevigdai." Poishdan afilu b'shuk, even in the street. My taima in chokma v'in tvuna v'in eitzel l'neged Hashem kol makom sheshchil Hashem ein chokim kavod l'rav. There is no such thing as honor to the master. And the rav, and it's certainly through an Irish verse. Now you're saying a good point. When then do we have the principle of God, that God will kavod abrios? Shedoyche loisa se shebetoyra. Let me see if he says something over here. A motzi klein, the big day, parsha filled with shuk, my time in chacham. Okay, here it is. Okay, I'm not sure. We have to leave for another time. Motza saka kupa in darko litol, hareze lo yitol. You find the matzia, hareze, honey will be moina. I will be isura. Ein chachma v'in tvun v'in etzel neged Hashem. Kol mokum v'shchil Hashem, ein chachma v'l'rav. Okay, so here in the Musachta Shavuos, he differentiates between mamoin and iser. When you're dealing with the matter of mamoin, then we apply the rule that zokein v'einu l'fi kavoida, you're allowed to be over on an avera. When you're dealing with matters of mamoin, and there's a conflict of kavod. But when you're dealing with matters of iser, like in this example of shatnez, then we don't apply this principle. Another example the Gemara gives is being moira halacha bifnei rabbi. That's a very important idea. This is Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin. We learn from Pinchas. Pinchas, when Pinchas went and he killed Cosby and Zimri, Pinchas was moira halacha bifnei rabbi. How is a person allowed to be moira halacha bifnei rabbi? The answer when there's a chil Hashem. If there's a question, what? He asked Moshe to know the answer.
So didn't you remember?
But didn't you once teach us? So he says that's right. You reminded me. And the one that paskind. Okay, so why is that different? Let's see, Rosh in Chachma v'in Tfun v'yar Pinchas ben Elazar ma Rosh mulam Rosh in Chachma v'in Tfun v'in Eitzel neged Hashem kol makom sheshchil Hashem in Chachma kavul Rav. Pinchas, I'm not sure. There is a Chazal that says they did ask permission. This over here, he seems to say, there's a machlokes. Could be there's another chazal that he did not ask permission. He just acted on his own. Kanoim peigimbo, or he did it. Or maybe he asked a question in a way that was not respectful to Moshe Rabbeinu. Could be there was a protocol how he should go about coming to Moshe, and here he skipped the steps. I don't know what the steps were, but he did it. He did it in a way that was not the normal. Why? Because there was an emergency. If there is a situation where there's an open chilul Hashem, we suspend the rule of ein marin halacha bifnei rabba. The Gemara gives this example number of times. That rule is suspended where currently there is a chilul Hashem because of this pasuk ein chachma v'in tfun v'in etzel l'neged Hashem kol makom sheshchil Hashem ein cholkim kavod l'rav. You don't have to go ask a shaila. You can take the law into your own hands. Okay, obviously there's a lot more. I don't know. So let's go. When you're dealing with an Isser Derabbanan, then there are heterim. For example, Shatnez Derabbanan. There are many examples. Today we're very machmer on Shatnez. There are many types of Shatnez which are only Shatnez Derabbanan. which is not necessarily derived. The different, I don't know the rules, but there are certain types of shanes, wool and linen, that are intertwined. That is the deraisa. But there are certain types of shatnes which is not deraisa, which is only in iser midrabanan. So those types of examples, the halacha is, even if you have a suffix, if it's deraisa or derabanan, you don't have to take off your clothing in front of people. You can go into a back room, you can go into Beis HaKisa, you can even go home before you remove your clothing. Because there we apply the rule, Godol Kavod HaBrios, it's Doicha Lois HaSei. In this context, the Lois HaSei is Lois Sosu Mikol Asher Yom L'cho Yominu Smol. The Lois HaSei is to listen to the mitzvah of the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan tell you to do something, that is automatically a category of a Lois HaSei. But being that it's only in the category of a Lois Sosu, it's not an open pasuk in the Torah, then you don't have to allow yourself to suffer embarrassment. You're able to delay the fulfillment of the mitzvah by doing something to save yourself some shame. And that is said over by many examples of shatnes. It's a shatnes derabanan. A shatnes expert can tell you some types of shatnes are derabanans, and some type of shatnes is deraisa. So when it's a shiloh of deraisa, you have no choice, you have to take off the clothing in public. But when it's a shatnes derabanan, then you can stall for time. You can stall in order to avoid the shame. You don't take off your pants in the street. Obviously, that. Okay. Let's go further. Sus next pasuk chaf lamed aleph. Let's pasuk in perikaf aleph. Sus muchon liyoy mulchama lashem hateshua. A simple idea that a person can have a horse, can have the best weapons, the best technology, and they can be prepared. You can have the best battle plan. Muchon. Muchon is a very powerful word. You are well prepared for liyoy mulchama, day of war. You spend your entire life planning, strategizing how to win this war. But yet, when it comes to war, you can be fighting some person has no experience. V'la Hashem hateshua. Only salvation only comes from Hashem. If Hashem does not want you to win, then no matter what, no matter how powerful your weapons are, and no matter how much preparation you have, it will not going to succeed. Let's look at the mitzvah. The stuff pasuk lamed aleph sus im ki muchon hasus liyom hamuchama. Even though the horse is prepared for the day of war, lo nus bo be'es yirdefehu, to flee with the horse to escape with the horse be'es yirdefehu, when they pursue him, doesn't make a difference. Mikol makom biyad Hashem hu hateshua, salvation only comes from Hashem. Ve'im lo yeh noisha me'imo sheker hasus l'teshua. If Hashem does not want a person to be saved from an attack, the horse is not going to help him in any way whatsoever. Rashi. There is no Rashi. Okay, the Medrash just emphasizes this. Tanchuma emphasized this in reference to Paro. Paro took with him a Sheish Neos Rechev Bochur, 600 chosen chariots, the best of the best. These, in fact, we mentioned 2 weeks ago, were the chariots that were saved from Makas Barad, from the Yorei Shemayim. The people at Yorei Shemayim, they brought their animals indoors to spear the animals from Barad, and it was with these animals that were also an expression of Yirah Shemayim, that had a koyach, that gave them the animals a special siyata d'shmaya. But since at this point in time Paro was wicked, he hardened his heart, and the Egyptians were wicked, Hashem, even though they had the best horses and they were all beautified, the Medrash elaborates, with jewelry, and every horse was in perfect health, it did not make a difference. Every single one of those 600 chariots drowned in the Yamsuf. V'la Hashem hateshua. Okay, this concludes Perichav Alf. We go on to Perichav Beis. Nivchar Shem Me'osha Rav Mikesef Umizov Chayin Tov. The pasuk repeats the idea twice. It's teaching us the concept, what it says in a Koheles. Toiv Shem Mishemen Tov. There the pasuk says that a reputation, a sparkling reputation, is better than the finest oils. oils in ancient times obviously had a very great value, had it were as a commodity, and this idea is expressed here in red. Instead of referencing oil, we're using over here gold and silver. Nivch Hashem, a good name is more chosen from a osherah, from a great wealth. Then the pasuk repeats itself that chein tov, favor, grace, is more precious. It has to be repeated. The nivcha, you have to repeat the word nivcha has to be repeated a second time. It's like nivcha chein tov. Chein tov is more select, is better. Mikesef, more so than silver. Umi zahav, and from gold. Let's look at the mitzvahs. Pasuk aleph nivchar shem toif, a sparkling reputation is nivchar, is better. Me oisherof, from great wealth. The chein tov, we're reading the words of the pasuk backwards, and chein tov nivchar, we are repeating the word nivchar a second time, is more choice, is better. Me kesef vizahav. Rashi nivchar shem me oisherof. Shame, what's the shame? Shame means shame tov, a good name. Mikesef umizov. Rashi says the same thing. Repeat the word nivchar a second time. Nivchar chein tov. Okay. Now, who is this pasuk said in reference to? So there are a number of midrashim. First medrash is referring to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu's name, his reputation, Hashem said about Moshe, pasuk in Tehillim, Lule Moshe Bichiro, Moshe Hashem's chosen one. Moshe is the Nivchar. Pasuk in Tehillim, he is the Bichiro, the same word the pasuk here used. If not for Moshe, we would have been destroyed. HaKadosh Baruch would have destroyed Klal Yisrael, and Moshe, he was mispal for Klal Yisrael. His reputation, his good name, was better than Korach's wealth. One of the richest people to ever exist in this world, even greater than Bill Gates and Larry Page and who's in this and Warren Buffett and he died. What's his name? Apple. What was his name?
Jobs.
So, ahead of what's his name? Head of Facebook.
Zuckerman.
He's Jewish, right?
Yeah.
He's Jewish. So, Korach was wealthier than all of these people combined. Korach was was the wealthiest people. So Korach, when Korach went and went up against Moshe Rabbeinu, he had enormous influence. His wealth appealed to the masses, and that's why he was such a great threat to Moshe Rabbeinu. Yet, and in fact, when he went and he offered keteres, they all brought the keteres on the copper, on the pants. There's a very expensive copper pants he used from his great wealth. These 250 pants to offer Keteres as a rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu. But yet, Moshe, what was Moshe? Moshe was a poor man. Chazal say Moshe became rich one day from the Luchos, Psal Lucha. He became rich from the sapphire, from the stone of the Luchos. But still Moshe, relative to Korach, was a poor man. By the Bizas Mitzrayim, everyone was busy collecting Bizas, and Moshe Rabbeinu, he took nothing. He went, he took the bones of Yosef. So Moshe was not known to be, by Klal Yisrael, a very wealthy person. Korach was a very wealthy person, but yet, who prevailed when the day was over? It was Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's how the Medrash interprets this pasuk. We have here one of the poorest people going up against the richest people. Now again, like I said, Moshe became rich at the end. But in the beginning, Moshe was poor. Okay, you'll say that the time when Korach rebelled, it was after Matan Torah, was after already Moshe Rabbeinu received Luchos Shniyos in Echanamis, and Moshe already had the Psoilus. Okay, I don't know. But still, Moshe was perceived, I assume. No, even when we know it's original, yeah, people have become very, very wealthy. They become wealthy later in life. When they're 80 years old, they all of a sudden, they win a lottery ticket. They become a multi-billionaire. People still look at them as poor people. If you look at a person, you perceive a person as being a poor person their whole life, in your eyes, they're a poor person. You don't just because they came into wealth, it's too little, too late. At this point in life, it doesn't. You don't know how to deal with it. So people perceive Moshe as not being wealthy. Korach was wealthy, and the pasuk here says, "Nivchar Hashem me'oisherov." Hashem chose Moshe. His sparkling reputation of being the one that was mispal on behalf of Klal Yisrael, when Moshe got the title Moshe Bechiri, more so than the Osher Rav of Korach.
A little odd, why the word tov instead of after chen, you think it would be after shame. Shame could be both positive and negative. Chen is
no. So that's what Rashi says.
From which is a positive.
Chen is only positive. That is correct. But Rashi here right away says that from the context it means shame toif. Rashi adds the word toif because Rashi, right? Yeah. But it's not obvious. It's not obvious. Yeah, you have to a lot of pesukim in Mishlei. All the psukim in Mishlei are like this. They're all written in a very complex style where the words cannot be written and translated in order. They have to be translated out of order. In Echnami, that's why its subject is so much interpretation. And you'll find the Rishonim giving you different ideas of what the pasuk really means. This is Rashi's interpretation, that everything here is positive. The shame here is a shame toiv, and that's Nivchar, Me'oisharav, and the reference is to Moshe versus Korach. Another idea is reference to Pinchas. Pinchas was not known to be a very wealthy person. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen. The Kohanim were not wealthy people. They in the Midbar, no one, everyone was the same. But the Kohanim, Pinchas was not known to be wealthy, and he went up against the Nesim, the princes, and the princes were definitely wealthy. Cosby, Zimri was a very wealthy person. Zimri was the Nasi, and Klali, one of the Nesim, and Pinchas went and he killed him. He murdered him in act of kanois because of his sin. So here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu selected the shame toiv, the good name of Pinchas, over the Oisharov of Zimri. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Beis. The rich man and the poor man meet, and a person should realize that. What's common is that when the rich and the poor come together, the rich people, they are arrogant. They look down at the poor. That I'm much better than you because I have what you do not have. The pasuk responds, "Oiseh chulam Hashem." Don't bloat over the poor. Don't become arrogant that you're better than the poor, because Hashem gave you your wealth and Hashem made this person poor. And if Hashem wants, in an instant, He can reverse the two. He can make this person wealthy and make you very poor. Oisei chulam Hashem. Let's look at Pasuk Beis in the Mitzudos David. Asher Musav Lamala. Pasuk Beis, according to the Mitzudos, is a continuation from Pasuk Aleph. Loimar. Lezeniv Hashem v'chesed me'osher. Shame v'chein me'osher. For this reason, shame, a reputation, a good name, and chein, and grace, is better than osher. Ki ha'osher lo yishubach v'ha'ini lo yigunah. Because when it comes to wealth and poverty, it's not dependent upon a person's actions. It is a mazel. It is a gift that is given to a person from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Some people are wealthy, some are not. But when it comes to shame toiv, when it comes to chein, these are things which you earn. Therefore, we can understand why it is nivchar shemei oisharav mikesa mizav chein tov, because the osher v'rosh nifgashu oisechul Hashem. These are things which are given oiseh, the wealthy and the poor, when they meet, when they the fact that they met up, their fate. According to the mitzvot, we'll see in one moment, nifgashu means that these people met their fate, their mazel. Their mazel was to be rich. Their mazel was to be poor. It was something that was oiseh chulam Hashem, the meeting of wealth to this person and the meeting of poverty to this person is nothing more than an act of God. It is an act of fate. But when it comes to the chein and the shem tov, that is something that a person has earned for himself. And obviously, what you earn is something that is better. One more time, the words of the Mitzudos. Musav l'malo aloymar l'zenif Hashem v'chein me'osher. This is why a good name and chein is greater than osher, ki osher lo yishubach, because it's nothing special. Wealth is not something a person should pride himself in. V'cha'ini lo yigune, and there's nothing wrong being poor. Ki me'Hashem yatzah hadavar. It's not your fault. It's not your advantage to be wealthy or poor. This is a gzera me Hashem, the gzera hayeredes min Hashemayim, upoksha bohem. And wealth and poverty net. connected to these two individuals, Bezeh Ha'osher, to Reuven, for whatever reason he was given, he met up with wealth, Uvezeh Ha'oni, and Shimon met up with poverty, Kifi HaGezera HaGozar, Ki Hashem Oisa Kolela, Hashem has done this. Not because a person is wise, Ha'oshir Ha'oshir, the rich man became rich, Aval Hashem, but with regard to a good name, V'Hachein, Ba Bebechiras Adam Atzmo, this comes due to a person's own efforts. What?
The world is not like this. There's been times, there are times that in the life of billionaires going collapse. Times one cent.
Speak up.
You have the money. They say, if you have the money, $1 million car, and they give you a whole list of some Russian guy cheating in Zambia or wherever, Angola. And this one.
They give you a character
list. And they're all Rishon.
They're all Rishon.
I say the belt is in the
okay, but the Pasuk says, Nishtazai. So, we're here now in the Kailo, and we're going to follow the world of reality, the real world. The real world. You know the story.
He makes their own chain.
Of course, a person makes for himself his own. I'm saying chain. Okay. If a person learns Torah, chud shel chesed moshechol. A person learns Torah in the morning. A person learns Torah at night. The Gemara says a Kadosh Baruch Hu grants a person chain. Chud shel chesed moshechol. People like that person. And you create your own chain, your own shem. You know they say in yeshiva. I don't know how true this is, but I'll just tell you what I said is the person learning yeshiva, and you're learning one year, and you say, oh, I can't wait to get out of here, to go out into the real world. What it says here in the Gemara, this is not the real world. The real world, it's different. And then you get a little bit older, you keep on studying year after year, and you're yearning to leave the walls of the Beis Medrash, to leave the worlds of the Shor, Shenogach HaSapara, the Shem Achinim, the Shem Esachar. This is not the real world. In the real world, you know, there's finance, there's economics, there's money to be made, there's happiness to be attained. There's real stuff out there. There's wealth, riches, success, fame, and while you're sitting in the basement in the Beis Medrash, that's what you're yearning for. And then finally you break out, you get married, you get a job, and you work for a company, and you work one year, another, you get a promotion, you get one job, another job, you become a partner in a law firm, and then you go on to this and to that, and then you realize, after you have it all, the cover, the money, the fame, it's not the real world. The real world is the Beis Medrash. The Shor Shenogach Esapara. And you know what the proof is? Because there are many people out there who taka, coming back to Kollel in their retirement. After, why are they coming back? You see, why? Why speaking? How are you? Baruch Hashem.
Okay.
So you see it. You see this. It's very hard. Okay, when you don't have the money and the cover and the fame, so it's very hard. It's very hard to believe that the real world is the Beis Medrash. But there have been people who have had it all, and they tell you. It's all baloney out there. The world. This is. I can't speak because I don't. I don't have this. But there are people who have come from the other side and have told us that out there, all the cover and fame, it's shallow. It's meaningless. It has no value. The real satisfaction a person has in this world is learning and serving Hashem. Is davening. Is being Isaac in spiritual matters. So you say that.
Of course,
it's the Oilam of Sheker.
They go up to this charity, they work in this field, social work, they suddenly realize that
$1 million
lawyer.
Look, Bill Gates, they criticized him all the years I grew up, Bill Gates, that he's stingy, he wouldn't have given them a penny to tzedakah. not a penny to tzedakah. And now he says that he's giving away all his wealth to tzedakah. He's not going to leave over anything, and even his own children, he's going to give them just a few $1 million, not more than that. Bill Gates. How many? Has two kids. He's leaving. He says, leaving his children just a small few $1 million. That's all he's leaving them. What?
Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs did nothing. Even Seif Yamav. Yeah. That's a very fascinating thing. He's giving away all, and also he's very involved in convincing other people they should give away at least half their wealth. That's he has a campaign. So obviously there's something to this. Even among the goyim, Allah has kama v'kama among us. All right, let's go further. Okay, now we go. Okay, that's one interpretation. Now there are. So we did over here the mitzudos. The mitzudos again. It's a very strange shot. The mitzudos. The chiddush of the mitzudos is that when it says the word nifkashu, nifkashu means fate. It's a very, very interesting parish. This pasuk is, relatively speaking, a more well known from the pesukim in Mishlei, and the mitzuda says nifgashu means a poor man and a rich man have met their fate. The reason why they're rich, the reason why Reuven is wealthy and Shimon is poor, is nothing more than fate. They've met up with fate. Who has decided their fate? The end of the pasuk answers that question. Oisei chulam Hashem. Hashem has created the situation, and this is not important. It's not under your control. What is important is pasuk aleph. The shame toiv shame mishem and toiv. Whereas the pasuk says nifchar shame meoisharav mikesef umizav chein tov. Because these are things which you accomplish, which you earn. Rashi says something a bit different. Rashi pasuk beis oisei chulam Hashem kishoni oimer loasher. When a poor man, he begs a rich man, Paraniseini, please support me, give me tzedakah. V'hu oine koshois, and the rich man answers with a hard, stubborn heart. I'm not giving you any money. It's your fault. Good for you. You don't have parnasa. It's all your fault. You made bad decisions. You deserve what you get. He's stingy. He's hard. He's cold-blooded. Hashem is not pleased with such an attitude. The pasuk concludes, Hashem is watching. Hashem is watching when an oni and an osher meet up with one another. Hashem is watching how the osher reacts to the oni. And if Hashem does not like how the usher responds, Hashem says, "Oiseh chulam Hashem, I made you rich, I made him poor." And you don't understand that, you think it's due to your success and you blame the oni for his predicament? You know what? I will show you who's in charge. I will reverse the roles in an instant. Oiseh chulam Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu oiseh oisam chadashem. Hashem will renew the world. Lezeh oni ulezeh asher will switch each other's fate. Very, very liberal interpretation of the pasuk. It's not what it says in the pasuk. I mean, you're getting a lot of perish to the pasuk, but that's how Rashi learns. Hashem is watching when an usher and a rush meet. Makes you get scared when a person knocks on your door. Collector comes to your door, and how you treat a collector. It's very, you know, it's a very big sign today. It's very, because say, unfortunately, there are so many collectors. You're bombarded. And how do you deal? How can you be sensitive to each one? But we'd be realistic. You can't go give everyone. You can't even give everyone a dollar. Give everyone a dollar, you'll also go bankrupt. Depends who. So, and yet, you don't want to. They walk away with such... Sometimes you get this feeling, they walk away, they hate you. And you can't give me a dollar. What's it to you? How do you deal? And it's a very frightening pasuk where it says, "Asher v'rosh nifkash HaKadosh Baruch Hu." The two are, Hashem is watching this meeting between the two, and a person should be very careful. Not chas v'shalom should it be that the roles will be reversed. I don't have any guidelines. I don't know. I saw a clip of the Novominska Rebbe and my Perlau speaking at the Aguda convention this past year. And he said that when a collector come to your house, says just be nice to them, don't be so nasty. And I don't know all the things to say at the Aguda convention. Why he selected that? I know he just felt that the attitude that the Hamoyin Am has towards collectors has reached a new low, and
some of them are shalom.
Okay, absolutely. Absolutely. My father was very involved in a lot of, you know, or Rav in Shul, especially in Flatbush. They come to the rabbi. They come to the rabbi, no, not for permission, to collect. They assume that every collector assumes that the rabbi has a fund. Has a fund. The shul collects it, and the rabbi distributes the fund. And the fund is, if there is a fund, the fund is very small. How much money can you already collect? And a lot of people would come to my father for money. And many times my father would investigate, and he would find that the people are fakers. A lot of fakers out there. So what he's saying is 100% correct. But on the other hand, there are a lot of poor people that are not fakers, and there's a lot of people have a tendency to say, yeah, it's your fault. So who told you should have 13 children, and you should expect with no parnasa? What do you expect? And you have to make a collection, and people are bitter. I don't have any answer.
What organizations that are set up to deal with these
aniyim? Well, obviously they're not doing a very good job if there's so many aniyim. What?
We should be giving our 10% to a federation,
and they should be taking care of this.
Because then you get no duplication out of town.
Right. Yeah, listen, it's very, very frightening. About a year ago, there was. You're not allowed to go to person. You have to go to them.
They give their tax.
To stock off.
It's the yeshiva tuition.
Yeah.
The community takes care of it.
Yeah. About a year ago, there was an article in one of these magazines. I don't know if it was the Mishpach or Ami, and they wrote about the collectors. Yeah. They studied the collectors. It's a very.
About how they vet them.
No, not only vetting them, but they describe. They describe what they go through.
The article of the Sibani River talks about how there are organizations in Israel, there are people in Israel that will sponsor and collect their airline tickets and
car fare.
They have things they need to come over, and they want a percentage.
Cool revach.
Off the top.
They want a percentage back.
Like when they come back, that's the deal. You can't try to.
Look, when they come around collecting, they have a car service waiting outside. A lot of these clubs, they have car services. Mm-hmm. So whatever you give them, more than half of what you're giving them is going to the driver. It's going to the driver.
Four guys in Muncie came in individually from one car.
Yeah.
Like,
he didn't realize it at first. He thought, one guy. All of a sudden, literally, 2 minutes later, another guy comes in. And now in Muncie, you can't walk. It's not like flat, but you're walking door to door.
It's
spread.
I don't know the answer. I don't know.
I'll tell you, a friend of mine down with Rabbi Reisman.
Yeah.
And he told me he gives money a certain amount every year to Rabbi Reisman. The understanding, and he tells anybody who comes to his door, there's my Rabbi Reisman, go see him. Whatever you will think you're entitled to, tell us about that. I'm not responsible for this guy. So the responsibility switches.
Okay, that's not necessarily a good thing. You know, you don't want to make it hard. You don't want to make it hard for these people. If you're willing to give tzedakah, so you have to be bad enough. No one wants to receive tzedakah. It's hard to say that the people, their minds are so warped that they enjoy collecting. Some people say that. They say they this is their profession. I don't know. It's hard to believe such a thing.
So if it is a profession, is that an honor?
What?
It's a profession.
I don't know. It's very frightening. Oh, here comes the expert in this matter. Oh, okay. Oh, that's why he came late today. He knew it. Okay. Well, the only thing we have to make note of is Hashem is watching. Hashem is watching. Ani v'rosh nifgashu, when the rich man and the poor man meet each other, when they're nifgash, Hashem is watching. It's pasha that Hashem is watching, but it's more than Hashem is saying. Hashem is the baskel is going out of this interaction, this meeting, and Hashem is saying to both of them, Oisei chulam Hashem, I made you rich, I made you poor. Watch out. If I don't like what I see, in an instant, I can reverse the roles. I can make the other one poor and the other one rich, and then we'll see how you behave among each other. Don't take advantage, don't look down at other people just because they're in this situation. It requires a very great degree of sensitivity, even if you're not able to give help them financially. At least there should be a degree of sensitivity. That's seemingly what Rashi says. Rashi focuses on the word v'hu oine koshois. Rashi does not tell us if he gives money or doesn't give money. That's not the issue. There's an oni and an usher. It doesn't say that the usher gave him. It says the oni responds koshois, in a harsh, cold manner. That is what Hashem says. That's how you talk to the oni. Watch out. I say chulam Hashem. I made you rich, I made you poor. Who knows what's going to be tomorrow? Okay, yeah. Yeah. Even if you offer them a cup of water, they come to your house and say, I'm sorry, I don't have any money, would you like a glass of water? You can do more by offering them a glass of water. Then you don't have to take them to your house. You don't want to take them because you know who they have. Who knows? They're germs. They're dirty. They're from the street. And you don't want to give them a plastic cup of water on a hot day. You can be koina oilam haba. You can be mechazik a poor person more than giving him $100.
All right.
Okay, fine. But that's what the pasuk says. Okay. All right, it's not so simple. It's not so simple.
And
not an
Ian. From Eretz Yisrael with the letters are also not an Ian.
I don't know how you can say that. I don't know. I don't know how you can say. I'm in a shul. I come in every single day. There's a line. There's a very wealthy person that sits in this space medrash. And all the collectors, they all know that after the seder is over, at a certain time, he gives out money. You can meet with him and he gives out money. Every single day, there's a line of people for him.
Not in this shul.
Another shul. Every single very wealthy person. This is where they come. The kol is out. The shame is out, and they come with gaboyim. A lot, mainly Hasidic people. I don't know why. Well, and they come and I sit there in the corner, and it's very sad. It's very, very sad to see what's going on. And all right, that's what it is. But all the thing that it says over here is Oshiv Rosh Nifgashu, very important Rashi to remember, the Hu Oine Koshois. It does not speak about how much you give, it talks about the way, the sensitivity you express towards the poor person. Hashem is watching, Oise Chulam Hashem, watch out. Now the Midrashim, they take this and they tell you that this is not only true with regard to money, poor and rich in money, but also regard to wisdom, chokhmah, that if a person wants to learn Torah, read the words of the Gemara, what it says here, asher means asher bat Torah. Ani bat Torah. And what it means is that if a person that is not wise, unlearned, he wants to learn Torah, the Talmud Chacham should teach him, should not be selfish, should give over. Same way there's halacha of giving meiser from your money. Rav Moshe writes is a need of giving meiser from your time. A person is mechuyev to give 10% of his free time that he would spend learning, to use it to teach people the Aleph Beis, to teach people that know less than what he knows. From this principle, there's partners in Torah. They had recently a big write-up about partners in Torah. What they've done is just mind-boggling. The koyach of partners in Torah, and you have different institutions where you just basically sit and you study with people that don't have any basic knowledge, and you get nothing from it. You're mamish teaching some of these people Aleph Beis. But Rav Moshe says the same way you have an obligation to give 10% of your money, you have an obligation to give 10% of your time to people that know less than you. And that's what it means over here. Asher v'rosh nifgashu. Upon occasion, the asher, every single person knows what you know. The fact that you're shomer Torah mitzvos, you know infinitely more than people out there in the country. What they know from nothing. Derosh and Nifgashu, when you meet and you do not offer your services to these people, watch out. You don't know what's going to be in the next generation. Who knows what's going to be with the person's grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Maybe Chas Shalom will be the other way around. That these people that you meet that are 100% ignorant, someone else will turn them around. And they'll have grandchildren that will be big Talmidei Chachamim. And a person who's a very big Talmud Chachamim, who knows, there's no guarantee what's going to be in his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren. I know many stories like this. Very big Chasher Rosh Yeshivas. Their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren, they have big problems. They struggle. They don't even know what to do. They struggle. You don't know what's going to be, and a person over here is giving you an opportunity that you can plan for the future by being kind to other people that are in need. That is what it says in the Yalkut Shmoni, how to interpret this pasuk. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Gimel. Pasuk Gimel says, Orum roha roha v'nistar ufesayim avru v'nenashu. Orum here simply means a clever person. We had this idea many times. Orum normally means a deceitful person, a crook. Someone who's a crook, but according to the way we're going to learn, according to most of the commentators, Aram here means cleverness. A wise, clever person. Raha, he sees Raha. He sees evil coming. He sees troubles on the way. The Nistar, and he hides himself from the trouble. But Upasayim, the foolish people, a Pesi, a simpleton, he doesn't know what's going on. Avru, they pass through the street. They make themselves available. They do not go into hiding. And v'nenashu, and indeed they suffer the consequences. Okay, let's take a look here at the Mitzudos. Pasuk Gimel, ro ha-ro, ha-arum roye ha-ro ha-mu'utedes lavo. A clever person sees that trouble is coming. And what does he do? V'nistar mimena, and he hides himself. Rotsa laymar, shoymer atzmoy min ha-ro. He hides himself from Ra, Terem, Ba'a, before it comes. Aval ha-pesayim, but a fool, but a simpleton. Avru derech ha-ra, he travels on the way of Ra, for lo nishmu, and he does not guard himself. V'hisig oysam ha-inish v'hevsid, and the punishment and loss come upon him because he was not careful. Rashi, Arum Ra ha-ra, oynish ala vera. Rashi is a little bit more midrashic. A person, a clever person, sees that he'll be punished for doing an avera, v'nistar, and he hides himself from the avera. For the over avera does not do an avera. Now this pasuk is subject to many interpretations according to the Medrash. Who is the subject of this person? So the first interpretation is a timely matter. Is during the time of Achashverosh, when Vashti, when she rebelled against Achashverosh and refused to come before him at the party. So Achashverosh was angry. He first consulted with the Sanhedrin. He called the members of the Sanhedrin and he said, my wife is giving me a hard time. What do you advise? What do you advise? So the Sanhedrin were clever. Exactly. That's right. So the Nechnami, the Chazal, take this pasuk, we've discussed this many times. Either they look back, and they just give an example from a later point in time to apply the principle of this pasuk, Nechnami. Or you can say, if you want, it's not so simple, is that this was written al pi ruach hakodesh, and Shlomo Melech was alluding to what's going to happen in the future. But you don't need to come on to that. You can just simply that Chazal, at a later point in time, is looking back at Tanakh and is telling us, if you want to give an example to apply the principle of this pasuk in order that we can understand it better, we can look at the story of the Megillah. What happened? Vashti rebels against her husband. Achashverosh consults with the Sanhedrin. They were called in this pasuk, the subject of this pasuk, the Arum. They were very clever. And they realized that it's a no-win situation. If they tell Achashverosh, just forget about it, it's okay, let her vent, let her rebel against, they know that's not going to go off well, he's not going to like that for an answer because it was a disgrace to his malchus, he was insulted, and it's not going to be satisfactory to Achashverosh. To tell Achashverosh to kill her, to punish her, is also not a solution, because later he's going to calm down and he's going to then remember his queen and he's going to be angry and he's going to look to blame the Sanhedrin for the advice that they gave him to kill her or to punish her. So therefore they were clever. So what do? They said v'nistar. They hid themselves. They abstain. They recruited acquitted themselves from this decision. They said that recused themselves from this decision by telling Achashverosh that since the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, we no longer have Chochma. We are in a state our minds are unsettled. We are in Galus, and we cannot properly issue a complicated decision.
That's why the pasuk doesn't say chacham, you are chacham.
Aru means clever. They are chachamim. They are chacham. It's just that they're clever. In addition to being a chacham, you also need to be a little clever. He's a clever. It's not just enough to be chacham. It's a higher madriga. You're not just clever, but you're also clever. So who then did Achashverosh turn to? The Shiva Roye Pinei Hamelech. The seven people that sat before him. Karshna Shesa Admosa Sarshish Meres Marsna Mimuchan. These seven people, these are called the Pisoyim. These are the foolish simpletons that Avru, they passed through. In other words, they allowed themselves to, they gave advice, Vinenoshu, and then Achar Hadvamuila. And now they were in trouble. Now the Achashverosh was angry. So this is the first interpretation of what this pasuk refers to. What? He consults them later. You have to look in the Medrash what happened. It could be that they were punished to some degree. I don't know. Michal is not here. He's the expert on the Medrash and Esther Rabbah. He wrote the translation. So I'm sure.
Yesterday, yeah. An article about how to deal with marriage counseling, asking for advice.
For marriage counseling? Don't mix it, yeah.
Yeah, they tell
whatever you do is no good.
What they say is, I don't know what'll work for you, but I can only tell you what worked for me. Maybe it doesn't apply to you, but this is what I did under certain circumstances. Because if you give somebody advice
and it doesn't work out well, you're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what they were the Pesayim. They actually told Achashverosh what they violated this principle, and that's why they suffered the consequence, whatever the consequences were. The Medrash does not tell us. Another, what? Mamuchan
was one of them.
Mamuchan was Haman. Haman was ultimately elevated. Haman Achar Hadramelech Gidel Hamelech Achashverosh Haman Ben Amnasa. He was elevated. What?
Gidal.
Okay. Now we go to another. Now this interpretation is this is something that is very interesting. Okay. Agodas Bereishis. Some of the information over here is not well known. I never knew this until I prepared it. Something very interesting about who we apply this pasuk to. We apply this pasuk to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, after he received the brachos from Yitzchak, Esav was obviously very jealous, and the pasuk makes it very clear. By Yistam Esav es Yaakov, Esav hated Yaakov because he stole the. He took the Bechorah, the Brachas for himself, and the Pasuk says that he will soon, his father will die. And what's the Pasuk say? Yikuvi me evilavi, vahargas es Yaakov achi. Soon my father will die, and then when my father dies, I will murder my brother Yaakov. So the Medrash puts a little bit of a different spin on the Pasuk. Yikuvu yime evil bini doesn't just mean that. No, naturally, my father is very old. How much longer could he live already? How old was he at that point in time? I don't know how old he was. Yeah, at the time of the Brachas.
60 and
Brachas.
140.
123. So he had a long way to go because he was 180 years old when he died. So what is? So he had a long way, but he didn't figure. Who knows? Since his grandfather Avram died when he was 170 or 175. Okay, whatever. But he said, I don't know what's going to be. He's not going to live that much longer. The Medrash says no. What he meant to say was, I am going to accelerate. I am going to bring about the death of my father. How could Yitzchak, the one that's so makpan akibud avoim, is he going to kill his father? He truly was just a fake. He didn't really care about Kiyud Avraham. He went, but he would not have the chutzpah to do it, to actually go in society. It would not be accepted for him to go kill his father. He went to Yishmael. The Pasuk says there that when he saw that Yaakov was told by his parents that he should go to Lavan to get married, oh, I also want to get married. I'm going to go. Who am I going to marry? Vayelech Esav el Yishmael. And he married Nevoyos. He married the daughter of Yishmael. According to the Medrash, he didn't just go to Yishmael to marry his daughter. He went to Yishmael to persuade him to kill Yitzchak. And he said, Yishmael, you know, I relate to you now. I have a brother. My brother, he stole my blessing. I have a tremendous hatred for my brother. I now realize how much you also must hate your brother. You, Yishmo, were driven out of the house of Avraham because of your brother, because of Sarah. When Sarah saw that Yishmo was mitzachek, so Sarah said to Avraham, Goresh es ben ha'omo hazos kilo yirash im bini im Yitzchak. He's not going to receive the heritage, the Yerusha. So after this event, according to the Medrash, this triggered, this event of Yitzchak, of Esav losing the bracha from Yitzchak, triggered a machshava in his mind to be noikein that Yishmol also probably feels the same way about what happened to him. He was the heir to Avraham, and then came along the newcomer Yitzchak. And Yitzchak, because of Yitzchak, Yishmol was driven out of the house, just like I, Esav, was the Bechar. I was the heir to Yitzchak, and my younger brother came along and drove me out. So after realizing what happened to him, he realized that there's someone else in the world that can relate to his tsar. Misery loves company. Misery loves company.
Misery
loves company. That's exactly what happened. Misery loves company. Who am I going to find as a support group? Today it's all about therapy. What's therapy? The ultimate therapy today is a support group. You're an alcoholic, you have to sit together with other alcoholics and talk about things you can do to be mechazik yourself, not to have this, not, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
He says, because Reuven also went, he would have gone to Esau and he commiserated him. He said, Reuven would have said, you know, my father also was involved.
Same thing. Said Reuven had the same complaint. So misery loves company. So this is where Yaakov went to Yishmael, and he tried to convince Yishmael that Yishmael should take revenge for what happened by killing Yitzchak. Yikrevu yimei evel bini. What do you mean yikrevu? My father's a young man. My father, Yitzchak, is a young man who's only, 23. He's going to live until 180. I'm going to bring about his death now. How am I going to bring about his death now? I'm going to go to Yishmael and convince Yishmael to take revenge for what Yitzchak did to Yishmael. Then what will I do? I will also kill my brother Yaakov for what he did to me. So everything that Yaakov had will go to me, and then I'll kill Yishmael. I'll take revenge for him killing my father. In the media, it'll look very good. Yishmael kills Yitzchak. Who's the Goyal Hadam? Esav. My uncle, he killed my father? What kind of business is this? I will then kill Yishmael, and I'll kill Yaakov, and Yaakov, the media will let me do, because you know the Jewish people, of course, you know you can get away with whatever you want. The Jewish people, Yaakov, you can kill because Yaakov stole my bechira, and then I'll kill the Goyal Hadam, and I'll inherit the entire world. I'll have everything. So this is what this was, according to the Medrash, a very devious plan of Esav. Yikuvu means to convince Yishmael to kill Yitzchak, and I myself, Esav, will kill Yaakov, and I'll then take revenge for what Yishmael did to my father, and I'll inherit both worlds. Who is the one? What? Did allow this. Who is the one that saw all of this coming? The Medrash says Yaakov. Yaakov saw Esav's whole plan. Shocking. He saw the whole big plan. No one knew about this. Not the same degree. The Medrash says that the one that saw the big, big plan, the whole plan of what Esav was trying to accomplish with both Yishmael and with Yaakov was Yaakov. And that's why it says, Orum Roh V'Nistar. Yaakov Avinu, according to the Medrash, is the subject of this pasuk. Aminem pasuk zeh. Yaakov, he saw what was really going on. V'Nistar, and he hid himself. That's all it says. And that's why by Yivrachu v'chol ashalo, the pasuk does not say. I mean, maybe that's what it means avru. Maybe it means that's how we. Oh no, I don't know. I'll take it back. I don't know what that means. Upesayim avru v'ninashu. The Medrash does not appear to explain the end of the pasuk. Let me read you some of these words. Vayelech Esav el Yishmael. Esav went to Yishmael. Omar lo Yitzchak avicha. Esav said to Yishmael, Yitzchak, your avich, achicha, your brother, avihu, he's my father. I can't kill him. I can't kill my own father. The world will not accept this. I will not have a good reputation. But you can kill him. If you, my uncle, Yishmael, will kill my father, Yitzchak, this will be accepted. It's only right because of what he did to you. Kill him. Kill your brother. So he is the reason why you were driven out of his home. And then he said to himself, I'll kill my brother. And we'll share the world among ourselves. But that's not the whole story. Esav then thought in his heart, "Leimar mishahu harig liaba, v'ani liyakov achi, ani ba bedin al Yishmael. I'm the goyel hadam for my father. I will kill Yishmael. Leimar lo marak tesaba, v'ani harig avinolo kol ha'olam kuloi liatzmi. Amar lo yakadosh baruch hu ein bria yodas mash shechashavta b'lvavecha." So he quotes all these psukim from Yecheskel, from Yirmiyah. Basically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no one knows about this. The only one that knows the secret, what you're trying to do is me. I know what you're thinking. But the day is going to come when I'm going to reveal this plan. I'm going to reveal the plan to Yaakov Avinu, Kishiro Yaakov Hamasim Halalu, Omar Moni Yoshev Kan Lachbo Benafshi Benafshe Shalishmol. If I'm going to remain here, then I'm going to be part of this plan. Lekach nemar, orim ro, v'nistar, he saw what was coming, Yaakov, and he ran away. Okay, so that's this medrash. Okay, there's another medrash that says, who is the subject of this pasuk? This is Moshe Rabbeinu, hold on, medrash. Moshe Rabbeinu, at the sneh, the burning bush, vayar Hashem ki sor liros. Vayaster Moshe ponav ki yorei nigeshes elav. When Moshe Rabbeinu saw the bush was burning, he saw the Shechina was present. Moshe Rabbeinu, he concealed his eyes. He turned away. Moshe did not want to come in the vicinity of the Kiddush. He felt that he was not roy. Therefore, Moshe is the beginning of the pasuk Orum, the clever man, Moshe Rabbeinu, roho roho, he saw what was evil. Evil here means that it's not proper for his neshama to come close to the Shechina. He's not worthy of being the presence of the Shechina. And therefore, v'nistar, he hid himself. Vayosar, what's the pasuk say? Vayar Moshe, he turned away from the burning bush. Vayar Hashem kisol liros. Before that, what did the pasuk say? Vayar Hashem before liros. When he actually saw it, he yore miligesh es elav. Moshe Rabbeinu, he turned away. He was afraid. Who stands in contrast to Pesoyim? Nodav v'Avihu. Nodav v'Avihu were not afraid to come close. When during the inauguration of the Mishkan and the Miluim, Nodav v'Avihu entered into the Kodesh HaKodashim, Shesuya Yayin, without permission. They are called the Pesoyim Avru. They transgressed the prohibition of coming too close, v'ne'noshu, and they were punished. They paid with their lives. That's an enochnami, and because then you didn't want, so now I'm not going to show you. That is a conflicting medrash. We find there are two. We find the mitzad echad. There was a milo what Moshe Rabbeinu did. It was a good thing to turn away, an act of tznius, a humility. Mitzad sheni, it was a bad thing that he should have taken advantage. Enochnami, how do you reconcile that contradiction? I do not know. It could be there's a conflict or the different dimensions. The different dimensions. One dimension it was good. One dimension it was bad. But let's focus now on the positive. according to the Midrash, focusing on the bad, on the good, on the good. Moshe Rabbeinu was a clever person. He knew that it's not proper. He was not deserving. He should stay away from the Shechina, and he did so. We applied the beginning of the pasuk to Moshe. Aram Ra. He saw something that was not good for his neshama, the Nistar, and he hid himself, and that was to his benefit. In contrast to Moshe, Nadav Aviu, they were the Pisoyim. They were the simpletons. They did not realize the Chaymer Hadavar, the severity of the matter, that you don't go into the Kodesh HaKadosh and offer an Esh Zara when you're not permitted to do so, when you're not told to do so. They Avu, they transgressed this prohibition, the Nenosh, when they were punished. Okay, one... What?
Is that the Machses of Shechina Hashem didn't want to disturb it because they were...
They saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they were eating and drinking, and Hashem did not want to destroy the Simcha of Matan Torah, so Hashem spared them for a later point in time. The Medrash doesn't apply, it does not apply that this pasuk to the Atzile. It replies it specifically to Nadav Yaviu, because we do find they were punished. We do find Nadav Yaviu were punished when they brought an Ish Zara. Okay, one last interpretation, this refers to Noach. Noach saw the Mabul coming, the Churban coming, the Nistar. Noach ish tzaddik tamim hoya b'dayroisav, and Noach went and he prepared himself by building the teva to hide himself from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger. But the Pesoyim, the foolish people, these were the people of the generation of Noach, Avu, they ignored the warning of HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'nenoshu, and they were swept away in the Mabul. Okay, this also applies to the Yitzias Mitzrayim, that Kevon Shnitin Rishus L'Mashchis, when the Mashchis is given permission to destroy, the Mashchis does not differentiate between a tzaddik and a rasha. A person should not think, I'm a tzaddik. I'm a tzaddik, therefore I have nothing to be worried about. I am immune to the punishment. That is a fatal mistake. When there's a gzera of churban upon the world, there's no difference between a tzaddik and a rasha. Even the tzaddikim are going to be swept away in the churban, and therefore a tzaddik has to realize a tzar is coming and to hide himself. The orim, the clever among the tzaddikim, among humanity, when they see evil is coming, vinistar, hide yourself. Don't think that in your marriage you're going to be saved. It's not the way the world works. It's only the foolish people that think that they have suchusim, they have merits, they can go out in public in front of the Malach HaMavis and they're going to survive. Avru, they're going to go in front of him. V'nenashu, they're going to be punished because the time of Churban, the time when the Mashkes is given Rishus to destroy, the Mashkes does not differentiate between good and bad. Okay, with that we will conclude.